Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 3. We're going to finish chapter 3 today. James chapter 3, verse 18. Let's start in verse 17, though. Last time we looked at this passage, we talked about wisdom from above or wisdom from below. There are two different choices, two different places you can get your wisdom from. And, you know, we ask the question, what do we want? Which one do we want? Do we want the wisdom from the earth, from below, or from above? Because below leads to things like disorder and confusion. And it says every evil practice. Let's read verse 17 again. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's, man, I want that kind of wisdom. But notice he said there, first of all, it's pure, it's clean, it's holy. And then he talks all these other things, peace-loving, being considerate, and all the things that God gives. And earlier in the book of James, it says in chapter 1 that if we want wisdom, what should we do? Ask God for it, and maybe he'll give it to us. Is that what it says? Yeah. Well, what does it say? He said he will give it to us, unless there is a small caveat there about, you know, being double-minded. We need to be focused on him, and we truly want what he wants for us, and so we ask him for it. So today we're going to look at verse 18, and he talks about peace again. Let's read verse 18. It says, peacemakers who sow in peace, they raise or reap a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow in peace, they raise or reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, as I mentioned, he already talked about it in the previous verse in this wisdom that comes from heaven, that comes from above. And really, this idea of peace-loving, and now he talks about peacemakers, the wisdom that comes from above, there's something about this peace, loving it, and peacemaking, that he feels is important enough for him to repeat it again in the very next verse. I really like what Matthew Henry, I was going to say old commentator, but he's not old anymore. He's actually in heaven. When I say old, I mean from a few hundred years ago. But he said this, that peace follows purity and depends on it. And those who are truly wise do what they can to preserve peace, that it may not be broken, and to make peace, that where it is lost, it may be restored. That's really what we're talking about here today, this idea of making peace, you know, that we do everything we can to preserve the peace, and where it is lost or broken, to make peace. That's what he's talking about, the peacemakers here. In Romans chapter 12, it says this, and this is the challenge for us. He says, if it is possible, as much as depends on the other guy, right? As much as depends on you, me, live peaceably with all men. Live at peace with all men. If it's possible. Now, it's not always possible to have peace with everyone. But as much as it is possible, and as much as you and I can do to make that happen, we need to do what we need to do. The responsibility is ours. This is what the Bible is telling us. James is saying the same thing here in James 3:18, to sow. This is what we need to sow. Peacemakers will sow it. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, pursue peace with all and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I read that and I'm wondering, he says, without which no one will see the Lord. Is he talking only about holiness? Well, maybe. But I think, too, he certainly, because of what the verse is saying here, that we should be pursuing peace with all people. I don't know about you, but this world has a lot of conflict. Have you noticed that? Does your world have a lot of conflict? Does your family situation, your work situation, whatever kind of situation you're in, is there conflict? Is there stuff going on there? Don't feel like you're the only one, because, I don't think there's ever been a time on the planet when there hasn't, been war in one place or another. He says to pursue peace. Go after it. Be a peacemaker. That's what he's saying to you and me. This may be a challenging message for some of us, because we say, you know what, that other person or that other situation, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. So I'm not going to do anything to change it. Does that sound familiar? They did it. End of story. And I will not try to make peace with them. I will not make any effort whatsoever. But is that what God's telling us to do? Or is that what we're telling ourselves to do, right? You know what I'm saying here? Does that make any sense? We can either be a peacemaker or a peace breaker. Interesting thing. If you look up this word peace, where did you look it up, Bruce? Where? Bruce didn't even hear me. You?
I hear you.
Where do you look these things up?
Oh, in the blue.
There you go. Okay. We got Bruce with us now. If you look it up in the blue letter Bible, this word peace, which in the Hebrew language is Irene, where we get our name Irene, it means tranquility, it means exemption from the rage and the havoc of war. It means security, safety, concord, where you're getting together. And interesting, in this verse, it's a verb, really. And the verb form is present active participle, which means now. Not future, but now be a peacemaker. Being active about it in the participle is that ing at the end, that it's an ongoing thing. Now, active, that we're trying to make peace. Is it an easy thing to make peace? It's not. Because everybody, again, what he says there, the rage and the havoc of war. That's what it feels like, isn't it, between us and other people? When it's all messed up, things are all messed up, it feels like rage. It feels like havoc. And you know, how are you going to get along? Maybe you're married and every now and then, or maybe every now, there's conflict and you're having this trouble and what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to wait until the other person takes the first step. That's the answer, right? Bruce, did you read my notes? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Notice he said, blessed, that word means happy. There's some happiness that comes in when we try to make some effort to make peace. But notice he also says that they'll be called children of God. There's something about this that's reflective, I think, of being in the family of God, of being a child of God, that this is part of being a child of God, is where we try to make peace, we try to keep peace, we try to get away from those things that divide us. You see, the family of God, we're God's children, and God wants peace with us. Didn't he? What did he? There was war between us and him. And what did he do? He sent his son to die to make peace. That's what it says in Romans 5. He says, we have been justified. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he sent his son so that he could make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called children of God. And God sent his son. This was at great cost. Do you think sometimes it's going to cost you a little bit to try to make peace with someone? It might cost you a lot. You might have to die to yourself. And Philippians 4 talks about the peace of God. So there's this peace with God. God makes peace with us, and he wants peace with us, and he did something about it, and then God gives us his peace. So this idea of being, you know, children of God and the peace of God and peace with God, it's all part of it, you see. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This peace is not something this world knows anything really about. Or I should say they try. Well, we're gonna get together and we're gonna have a powwow and then we're gonna make peace and we're gonna have a ceasefire and all that. But there's something different about the peace that comes from Jesus. Very, very different. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Don't be afraid to be a peacemaker. Don't be afraid to step out and do something that needs to be done. Don't be afraid to be the first. Usually we like to be first, right? Like I said on the slideshow, man, who were you looking for during that slideshow? Be honest. You were looking for yourself, right? Because we like to be number one. But when it comes to these kinds of things, no. Blessed are the peacemakers. He said, peacemakers, they sow in peace. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says that one of the things that God hates is one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates that. But a couple different versions of this verse, I kind of like looking at different versions and how they translate it. The New King James Version said, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So there's this idea of fruit and this idea of sowing. And then the New Living Translation says, "Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." Plant seeds of peace. They'll sow. Sow in peace. You know, it's springtime, finally. Although our new friends here said it's not spring where they're from, way north. But it's springtime now, and like things are starting to grow again. Things are green. You look out on our green meadow, it's green now, right? And if you take little seeds, though, and you put them in the dirt, and you water them, usually they come up. Some of us are better at this, right? How many of you have a green thumb? A few of you. Let me see. Hold it up. Let me see. This doesn't look green to me, but I know what you mean. You know, Paula and Justin, they are so good at this stuff. They can make anything grow on me. I just like, pfft. But it takes patience, right? It takes a little bit of wisdom. And you have to be able to get into the dirt. And sometimes peacemaking, you got to get into the dirt a little bit and plant some seeds of peace. But you know they're not going to come up like right that second. Seeds don't come up all, you know, as soon as you plant them. Sometimes we expect that. But it takes patience and to make peace with people, sometimes it will take some time. And it's not going to happen like immediately or overnight. But we need to plant those seeds. And God's word tells us that we will reap a harvest of righteousness. They will come up. If you plant the seeds, the right seeds, the seeds of making peace, that it's going to come up. Galatians chapter 6, you all know this verse, do not be deceived. In other words, you can count on this. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. This is a principle that is true. No matter what we think about it, and we could be deceived about it, but the principle, the spiritual principle, is that whatever we sow, we're also going to reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't give up. Keep sowing those seeds. We're going to reap if we don't lose heart. Sometimes we'll try once, maybe try twice or whatever. I know with family members it's tough, you know. I know what it's like. You know, you try and you get rebuffed, you know, you get rejected. But don't give up, because you don't know. You don't know what's going on in their lives, in their hearts, in their minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he's talking about giving. But one of the verses he says, it says this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So if you only sow a little bit, you can only expect a little bit. You put one seed in the ground, you might get one plant. You put a bunch of seeds in there, your chances are a lot higher to get more, right? Sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly, but sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He says we should sow in peace and we'll raise a harvest. Romans chapter 14 says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edifications. Romans 14:19. Do everything that you can to make peace. And he says you'll have a harvest of righteousness. And that word fruit is also in that verse, this harvest of righteousness. Now, I think many times we look at this word righteousness and we just think of somebody who is self-righteous and that kind of thing. But what the word really means is this. It means to be right. It means to be right with God and to be right with others. So as we plant seeds of peace and we water and we do everything we can, make every effort, things can become right. They're not right. That havoc of war and havoc of hate and anger. But we can look forward to a harvest of righteousness. The state of him who is as he ought to be, with integrity and virtue and uprightness. Things will be right. Things will be right. Sometimes we need to do something to make it right. Now, I've been talking about, when it's the other person's fault. I've mentioned that quite a few times, but what if it's our fault? Sometimes even if it's my fault, I don't want to make it right. What do we call that? That's just plain stubbornness and pride, right? But it depends on who you talk to, but it's probably close to 50-50, right? 50% it's my fault, 50% it's your fault. Now, your spouse might tell you it's more like 90-10. 90% your fault, and maybe 10, I'll take 10%, right? But the truth is, none of us are faultless. None of us, you know, it takes two to tango. It always is true. I find, I've been married a little while, I find, you know, the quicker we are to apologize and to say, I'm sorry,
Amen.
The quicker we are to have peace. That doesn't mean you just, you know, ignore everything that went on. But as soon as you humble yourself and acknowledge, you know, I'm sorry, I was an idiot, whatever the situation is, because God wants us to have peace. Now, that isn't always going to make everything go away, but He wants us to have peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, how happy are the peacemakers. You want things to be right? That's the harvest of righteousness. As we sow, as we plant seeds of peace, as we, you know, water and do everything that we can. Interesting. Also in James chapter 1, we talked about, you know, where do we get the wisdom from and how do we get it? But also in James chapter 1, we saw those verses that said, be quick to listen. What else? Slow to speak. And slow to anger. But you know the rest of that verse? We know those three parts pretty well. But the rest of the verse says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man. So my anger is not going to bring about, it's not going to make it right. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because God, the anger that I have is not going to make things right. I'm going to finish with a verse that I found in the book of Isaiah, as we say in England. Two verses, actually, because I really just like this verse. Says the fruit of righteousness will be peace. It's kind of interesting because it's kind of going the other direction. From being right brings about peace, but peace also brings about being right. But look what it says: the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. And then he says, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. That's what he wants. That's what he wants for you and I. He wants our homes to be like that. Peaceful dwelling places. Maybe your dwelling place is not peaceful. Maybe it's far from peace. There's no security there. But you know what? God says that he will bring that. He'll make it right. But we have to be willing and we have to participate in it and do whatever we can. I've already read to you three or four verses about whatever we can do to make peace, do it. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make any sense? So what are you going to do when you leave here? I'm going to go slug somebody. Maybe in the car on the way home. Maybe tonight when you've had time to think about it, pray about it. What's going on in my life, in my world, that I need to work on, that I need to be a peacemaker? Because God's called me to be a peacemaker. That's not saying, well, when they do this and when they do that, then I'll be a peacemaker. No, He's called us to be peacemakers. Period. Let's pray together, shall we? Jim, you want to come on up? Let's just take a minute and think about these words of being peacemakers. Maybe the situations in our lives, maybe the situation in our world, in the Psalms tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We can pray. We need to pray. God's people, that's what we're called to do. Father, we come before you. We humble ourselves. We're human, and we are frail. Many times we're at fault for stirring things up and making things worse when we could make things better. Lord, you forgave us. You made peace with us at great cost to yourself because you desire peace and you want peace in us. You want peace with us. You want peace with us and others. That being right, that righteousness, we pray you would show us that maybe there's something we need to do, some kind of step we need to take, maybe some words we need to say. Lord, I know you're able to do it. You're able to show us. I pray you would. Lord, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to be the peacemaker between us and you, and that he had to die to give his life to pay for our sin, to forgive us, to make peace between us and yourself. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. I pray if there's anybody who doesn't have that peace with God today, you can have it. And all you need to do is reach out. It's right here. It's right now. You can reach out and ask him and say, Jesus, I need you. We've been singing about it. I need you, Jesus. Today you can reach out and have him in your life. Have a brand new life and simply it's so simple. All you need to do is ask because he's done all the work. Just ask him now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, shall we, and sing one final song.